Hello, welcome again to Voices, a special program featuring interviews with thought leaders and trendsetters in the IT industry. I'm Joachim Menezes, web editor of IT World Canada, and my guest for this interview is Bruce Cleveland, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Products at Siebel Systems. Cleveland, who joined Siebel in 1996, has more than 25 years of industry experience and has held senior technical and marketing management positions at AT&T, Oracle, and Apple Computer. In this exclusive interview with IT World Canada, conducted at Siebel's recent Customer World Conference in Boston, he talks about Siebel's new customer adaptive solution strategy, initiatives to integrate Siebel and Oracle applications, some of the big focus areas of Siebel CRM moving forward, and much more. Bruce, in your keynote this morning, you outlined Siebel's future CRM strategy, which includes a focus on customer adaptive solutions and on ensuring Siebel apps support what you call next generation CRM capabilities, such as outcome modeling, predictive insight, informed action, and rapid realignment. However, with the imminent acquisition of Siebel by Oracle, to what extent will Siebel actually be able to deliver on this strategy?
I think the way I would state this is, if you'll see what we're doing with our Siebel 8, which is the next generation off of Siebel 7.8.2, we are making all of our applications enabled through web services. So as a direct result of that, they'll be consumable by any particular architecture that's SOA-based. And so the fact that Fusion is going to have metadata-driven, SOA-based, declarative applications means that the existing apps can fit into there. So we don't necessarily have to rewrite them unless we want to. So, for example, order management or pricer or configurator, these are all very deeply rich technology engines that are currently built upon a C++ architecture. But by wrappering them such that they can be consumed in an SOA environment, it makes them have a very, very long lifespan, and we can kind of decide when we want to rewrite them or not. So I think under the Oracle umbrella, we will have an opportunity to make those decisions then. With respect to any of the other concepts that we talked about, outcome modeling, predictive insight, informed action, and rapid realignment. Really, those are concepts that are being driven through flexibility of user interface, flexibility that an SOA environment enables, predictive analytics. All of these are things that, as we discussed before, as the centerpiece of Oracle CRM strategy, that I feel very confident will still be able to deliver within their larger framework, which is one of the reasons that we went very long on describing kind of each and every one of these things, that we spent a lot of time giving specific examples and even giving specific products that supported those things, but with the recognition that even if at some point we decided to move one product out and move another product in, the concepts are still the strategy for the company. So I kind of use the transitive property here of A equals B equals C. So if Oracle says that Siebel is its CRM strategy, and Siebel says that our strategy is this customer adaptive solutions, ergo, Oracle strategy, our customer adaptive solution.
At Oracle Open World last month, several joint Oracle Siebel customers expressed the need for tighter integration between Oracle back office and Siebel CRM applications, and asked that this be accomplished even before Project Fusion becomes a reality in 2007. Are there any initiatives to make this happen?
We will be deeply engaged with Oracle beginning next Monday on in-depth product reviews and technology directions. So that way we can get beyond some of just the overarching statements and get into actual code. And I believe that one of the key initiatives that we're both looking at is immediate integration between Siebel applications and Oracle applications as they currently exist. Now, we already have a set of Oracle connectors and adapters, which gives us significant lead on that. But we want to go even more than that. We want, for transformations, semantical relationships, et cetera, you need to be able to have more in-depth technology than just a pure EAI type of integration. So the strategy there is, as I said before, to take a look at what Oracle has, take a look at what's in our tool chest, and then through these deep technical reviews, we will come out prior, at least we may not make them public, but we will know prior to the announcement of when the final merger has been approved, what customers will can do in terms of complete integration between the current Siebel applications and Oracle's current applications. Mm-hmm. And that kind of covers off, you know, what can people expect in the next 1 to 2 years. Mm-hmm. Above that, you know, again, I think I have to refer, because I have yet to go through these meetings, I have to first hear what some of the more higher-level initiatives are. I do understand that they all will be metadata-driven, they'll be declarative and built off of SOA. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I have to believe that since that's our direction, that we are both philosophically aligned, and the fact that we're making all of our products consumable by that type of technology means that we should have very strong alignment.
Larry Ellison has emphasized the value Oracle is placing on Siebel's on-demand offering. However, your on-demand apps are currently hosted out of IBM's data centers and on a DB2 database. Will this continue post-merger, or will IBM be left out of Siebel's on-demand future?
I think it's a fair question. So my point of view on this, and in our conversations with IBM's, they're a great partner. They're actually a good partner of Oracle's. They're a great partner of ours. They've built a multi-billion dollar business through consulting services and hardware and software working with our technology. And that will continue to be the case according to all the conversations I've had with the folks at IBM. And with Oracle. So the issue really comes then down to business financials. Mm-hmm. And remember, it's kind of like Google and Yahoo. I really actually don't know what powers those particular websites and those particular offerings. I think at the end of the day, our customers don't really know either. So I think this is going to come about as to what is the lowest cost, highest performing, most reliable, scalable environment that we can provide to them. And I think that the currently it's built on top of we're built on top of WebSphere. We use a DB2 database. We're at the IBM Boulder data center, and I think that to the degree that that if there are alternatives to that particular rock solid environment that we have that are less expensive but can provide equal or better reliability and performance and scalability, then we'll consider them. But for the foreseeable future, we're still running on the IBM platform.
For Siebel, order management has recently been a big focus area, as reflected in the big investment made in order management in Siebel 7.8. Web self-service looks like another big focus area, and Siebel elected to buy itself into the space with the purchase of eDocs. Will the acquisition change some of these focus areas?
I don't think so. Again, since we own the strategy, I mean, one of the big things is we know, like, for example, I think we alluded that in the demo, mm-hmm. a lot of companies aren't really, they don't want to buy more call center agents. You know, what they're trying to do is figure out how to divest themselves of expense, and expense comes through the call center. So our acquisition of eDocs to provide self-service technology, I think was a very fortuitous acquisition in that, one, we've been integrating that technology deep into our particular product offerings. Number two, order management is a key part of that, being able to offer order decomposition and orchestration, not just through through a call center agent or an order management type of function by a person, but also through electronic bill presentment and payment. Mm-hmm. So the fact is that we're going to continue that. There are no plans to change the roadmap that we developed. In fact, we have a comprehensive roadmap that you could see here at the show that talks about it. So I don't see any deviation from the strategy that we've outlined, either through customer adaptive solutions that we talked about or the specific product instantiations that you'll see here at the show that will be in any size, shape, stretch, in any way changed with the Oracle merger.
Your former CEO, Mike Lawrie, talked about the importance of having the right management team in place, a team that is given the authority to make bold decisions and is held accountable for those decisions. To what extent will the authority of senior executives to determine trends and strategies be affected post-merger?
I think that's a good question. Actually, I've worked at Oracle. I worked from Oracle from 1985 through 1989. My feeling is much the same way at Siebel. If you demonstrate that you have technical acuity, market acuity, and you're able to achieve the revenue and cost margins that you've been assigned, your decision-making authority is wide and deep. If it proves otherwise, then your decision-making will become less wide and less deep. Mm-hmm. So I feel that based upon my experience working for Larry before, based upon the interactions I have, I think this is a company that makes its decisions in those ways. And beyond that, I'll just have to wait and see after the merger.
Fairly recently, the compensation model for Siebel's sales force was changed. And salespersons get compensated not just for selling product, but a whole range of capabilities, including services. Is the sales compensation formula likely to change again post-merger? And are the two sales teams likely to be integrated?
So I can answer the last. I'm not sure if I can answer the first part of that question. The last part of the question is that what statements I've heard from Larry personally and then from the statements that he's made in through the press, et cetera, is that the intent is to leave the sales organization as sort of an individual standalone group rather than trying to integrate it into a part of the general population of the sales organization of Oracle. So that's what I know there. Mm-hmm. In terms of specific compensation changes, for example, around services, either paying on them or not paying on them, et cetera, I don't have any insight into that at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think that that'll probably remain that way until we get a lot further down the road over the next few months in terms of truly going through all the last mile of what it means to put these two companies together.